Okay, Rabbi Yisai, we're learning here at Sefer Chovetz Talmidim. We're in the Akdoma. We were talking about giving a person the understanding that he is the Ikar Mechanech of himself. He's got to take care of himself. His life is in his own hands, his own destiny, and he's got to have coaches. He has to have people that can help him. He has to have assistance. But really, that's what he has to look at his Rebbe, at his parent, as someone who's just trying to give him advice. He's trying to give him sage advice. He's trying to be a guide at the side. He's not trying to take over his life. And he's supposed to realize that you can't do it on your own. You can't make these big decisions without anyone that's there to help you. You know, those that don't learn from history are condemned to repeat it, as we mentioned. But that's not enough. Telling him understand the magnitude of his responsibility, that's not enough. Rather, we said the problem that people have is not only necessarily that they don't know what to do, but they don't want to do it. They have this problem that even if they know what they should do, their heart's not in it. They're not feeling it. And that's a problem that people, they're what they get excited about, what they look forward to, what they feel connected to, all gets like attached to things that have such a little significance of not importance in Adarabba, sometimes even Chatoim. So therefore, how do we avoid that problem? Here it is. We're on page Chaf Vizeh Iker Toiras HaChasidus. This is what Chasidus is about. Shelo yistape ka'ish b'sichloi levad asher koiveya be'avoido. He shouldn't be happy, satisfied, just with the intellect, with the knowledge that everything should be in his brain. Ki hiskashus asher b'sichloi levad. A connection that's purely intellectual. Einoi kesher shel kayoma. That's not something that's going to last. Yochelhu l'shabdoi, he could force v'lidas borer b'sichloi shirakas Hashem tzorchu l'avoy. He can know clearly that the only person he has to serve is Hashem. B'chol pratei machshama dibur ma'aser shlo, and he has to do it with every thought, everything he says, and everything he does. He knows that. U'mikol makoim liboy v'chol gufoy rechoike. But his heart is very far from that. He knows it in his mind. There's a saying, the furthest distance in the world is the distance from the mind to the heart. It takes a long time to get from over there to over here. You might know it, but your head is like removed from the rest of your body. So if you don't feel it, so then your heart really dominates your body much more than your mind does. So you're saying, I know I should do this, I know I should do this, I don't end up doing it. Because you don't want to do it. You don't feel it. It's not in your heart. And that's what Chasidus is really there for. Chasidus is in order to be able to bring it from the mind to the heart. Even Esav, Harasha, the epitome of evil. Esav's head is buried in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Why? So the Mefarshim tell us, because Esav's mind was phenomenal. He had the mind of a Gadol Hador. The problem was, he never connected his mind to his heart. He never made that connection. And when Esav had that confrontation with Yaakov, he bit Yaakov in the neck. Because that's the difference between Esav and Yaakov. Esav's got the same mind that Yaakov has. It's just Yaakov, it penetrated his heart. And it became a part of his life. And he wanted it. He loved it. And Esav never made that connection. A person can have so much clarity. Bilam HaRosha spoke to Boirei Olam. Do we understand what that means? He had conversations with the Eibishter. And still, he Ramesh did whatever he wanted. So people, you know, have this feeling like, you know, why didn't Hashem just reveal himself to us? Like if I'd see a nace or something like that, you know, waiting for something that would like inspire me. It's a gainish like that. Because you can even talk directly to Hashem and go do whatever you please. Why? Because that's where his heart was. So we have to, that's what Chasidus is doing. We have to try to get our heart into learning, into Avodas Hashem, into mitzvahs. This is something that we enjoy, something that we want to do. Make a matziv out of it. So what does he say? All of your nefesh, chiyus gufoy, your life, your blood, tzchius gufoy, has to be, you have to connect, tzorach lachtor el nafshu, you have to dig down into your nefesh, lahaloisoy, to elevate it, ula'oiroi, and you should be inspired, lehislai b'chol mitzvah, b'toiru b'tvila. Should be something exciting. Make a matziv Make it exciting. Torah, tefillah, all these things. Tis aneg. Enjoy. Be'oineg ruchani v'tismach bo. With the oineg, the pleasant spirituality, and be happy with it. Enjoy. Rav Moshe Feinstein speaks about this all the time. I call it the signature Rav Moshe Feinstein Vort. He always talks about how a person has to enjoy his Avodas Hashem. And he comes to answer a very compelling question. Rav Moshe asks, I don't understand. All these people came to America with tremendous Mesiras Nefesh. They kept Shabbos. It's lo yuman ki yisuper. Try to remember who I was talking to. Oh, I remember. I was talking to a Chassidish Rebbe. And he said to me, he said, Amalika Amerikanische Yidden Engletayer Englishayer. Which means you can't even imagine what they were. The Mesiras Nefesh are going week to week, job to job. Every Friday, boss says, come in on Saturday. He says, I don't work on Saturday. Well, then you don't work on Sunday. Or you don't work on Monday. You don't work. That's it. You're fired. And they were fired. So these people with tremendous Mesiras Nefesh. What happened to the kids? So many of the children went off the derech. Asks Rav Moshe, Vos Epis, how could it be? They saw such tremendous, tremendous Mesiras Nefesh for Shabbos Kodesh. How could they have got off the derech? Says Rav Moshe, there was a saying in America. It's a Shver Tzayin Yid. See, that saying destroyed an entire generation. Shver Tzayin Yid. You know what that does? That doesn't allow it to go into your heart. Because when it's shver, you don't. Who wants to do something shver? Who wants to do something when Yiddishkeit is just always a burden and it's heavy and it's hard? We have to make it geschmack, enjoyable. There's a story. I think I heard. I'm not sure if Moshe Feinstein told the story or not. About a yid who was the same type of thing, week to week, job to job. Came Sukkos, he decorated his sukkah with all of his pink slips. A pink slip is when you get fired. He said, this is our decoration. In other words, he wasn't like walking around. I can't imagine the Nisayan, but he wasn't doing that. He was like, he was proud. It's a stolz zu sein a Yid. It's not schwer zu sein a Yid. It's geschmack to be a Yid. That's a whole different attitude. A person has that attitude. So then he's like, it's something that we can embrace. So that's what Chassidus is about. Chassidus is just that it should penetrate your heart. Aside from the mitzvah that he does, the mitzvahs themselves are going to be more holy. They're going to be more elevated. He can stand up against his Yetzirah. Will not be torn away from Makor HaChaim, and he won't be thrown down because the enticement of the Yetzirah, because the Yetzirah is like, oh, come, you like this, take this. I want to try to explain something to you for a moment. I think that the Olam is already a mature Olam, and you can appreciate it. What's the problem with listening to Goyish music? What's the problem with Goyish music? Why is Goyish music bad? Is there an Aveira in listening to Goyish music? What exactly does... What does Goyish music do to someone? So there's lots of discussions that a person can have about this. But I think that we're right now at perhaps the most critical nekuda when it comes to Goyish music. People speak about, you know, about classical music, there are people that, you know, and all different types, but I'm talking about music that most of the people here listen to. So I was, someone was kind enough to lend me his MP3 player. These are the names of the songs. It's in alphabetical order. Animals. Now, I'm sure he's not talking about teddy bears. Animals. It's like the teddy bears and animals. Best love song. Billionaire. Billionaire is probably, I give lots of tzedakah, I help lots of people, I'm a billionaire. Break the rules. Now, I understand that this song is about why you shouldn't break the rules. That's probably what the song is about. Don't break the rules, follow rules, because it's good. break your heart. Can't remember to forget you. Now that just sounds like some sort of Schweitzer thing to do. I'm not sure. I'll get that exact. Okay. Club life. Club life. We're making it's kihem chayeinu v'yoyrech yameinu. Okay. The next one is called coming in hot. Now, I'm sure that this is a guy that just played basketball downstairs and had to run in for mincha. So he's coming in hot. Criminal! Now, Rabbi said, what is going on? What is going on in a person's mind when he's listening to this music? What is going on in his head? What does that do to your heart? Forget your head. What does it do to your heart? I want to tell you a study. This is a goyish study. Okay. So I read it in the book, one of the books by Malcolm Gladwell. They did the following thing. They took two different groups of people. And they put headphones on them. And they told them, this is what we want you to do. We want you to, I don't remember how exactly they told them what they're doing. It's in order that they shouldn't understand exactly the nature of the test. But leave these headphones on. We want you to shake your head. Okay? So one group, we told them to shake their head this way. Just shake your head, like this. And the other group, they told them to shake their head this way. Now, and they were playing this very, like, it was a speech, a very radical political speech, which is, like, very controversial. And after they finished, they asked the group that was going like this, did you agree with the words that were presented in the speech? And the ones that shook their head like this, most of them said no. And then the group that went like this, they asked them, did you agree with the speech? And they said yes. Most of them, not all of them, most. Now what does that mean? That means that we think we have our opinions. And you hear something, either you like it or you don't like it. We're wrong. You don't have opinions. Your opinions are formulated by what you hear and the way you react to it. So if you're sitting there listening to coming in hot, I'm coming in hot. So you know what you're doing? You are like, yeah, this is me. I'm that guy, gal, I don't know what it is. I'm coming in hot. It's so cool. That's me. I'm like all about that. I'm criminal. Yo, criminal. That's what you're becoming. You are becoming your music. You are becoming your music. And you're going to try to come to the base manager and say, okay, here goes. Rav Amar Karen Kane should, what is he saying? I don't even like this. I don't know what I'm doing here. Why am I learning this? It's so boring. I'm going to go listen to that music. That's what you're doing to yourself. You're literally tearing yourself to shreds. You're like driving a car and pressing on the gas and the brake at the same time. You're destroying your engine. You're destroying it. We're trying to get our heart to be with our mind. We know where our minds are. We know where we think we should be. But we allow our heart to go to all the wrong places. And then we struggle and we get frustrated and we have a hard time and we don't know why. Why? You know, we had, Nissen Black came to speak here once a while ago. Those of you that were able to hear him. He said, you're killing yourself. You're killing yourself by listening to this music. How could you even expect to get anywhere? Because it's not going to work just in your mind. We've got to get a heart there. So a person has to develop ways to get his heart into learning. And get his heart into Avodas Hashem. And that means staying away from a lot of things. That's what it means. Now, as a kid, we developed certain tendencies. And there's certain things that we have affinities towards. And it's a process. It's no less of a detoxification process than any other type of addiction or anything, dependency that we have. It's a dependency. Okay? It's going to be hard. Right? It's going to be a challenge. Halavai, we would have started when we were younger. It would have made our lives much easier. But I just tell you, the longer we push it off, the more difficult it gets. So what we're trying to do over here is we're trying to connect our neshama. Vihine. Srichim hayinu lahamtin im avoyda zu shel hisragshus vihis lavus etzel anar. We should have waited. Arashe yigdal, until they got older. It's hard for it to be real as a kid. A lot of times we get excited about a lot of the, you know, the things that aren't like really the ikar of the avoda. So you have some people that get very excited about learning and they're not really even like, don't really understand what they're learning necessarily. They just get excited. They get excited about, you know, it's all like the superficiality. That's not real. So we wanted to, if you want to make it like a real geshmak in a davening, you should probably wait until someone knows what he's saying, understands what he's saying. Right? That would definitely be more real, more authentic. That would be the best way to do it. Listen to this brilliance. Every time the Torah writes chukim and mishpatim, they write those words together. Makdemes is a chukim l'mishpatim. Chuk comes before mishpat. Every time the Torah writes, we have two different things. We have chukim and mishpatim. What's the difference between chukim and mishpatim? Mishpatim heim b'tam. Mishpatim are things that we have a tam for, we have a reason for. Now says the Rebbe, listen to this. Brilliant. Says the Rebbe, a mishpat means something with a tam. A chuk is something that doesn't have a tam. What's the quintessential chuk? What's the epitome of a chuk? Paraduma. No one knows why. Shlomo Melch didn't know why. Right? So that's something that's a chayk. Mishpat, the quintessential mishpat, is don't steal. Everyone understands that. Says the Rebbe, mishpat doesn't only mean something that you understand. Tam means something that you have a flavor. Tam means flavor. So it can mean a reason. What's the taima? What's the reason? It could also mean a flavor. Loi tam shel seichel bilvad. Not only a tam of something that you understand in your mind. Ragam tam shel yedia. Ki yim epnei shein seichel leben. Lama roitzu lanashik es ave bisvasav. Father doesn't understand. His child doesn't know. Why does he want to hug and kiss his father? Why? Can you explain? Ask a child, can you please explain it to me? Put into words. Why do you want to kiss your father? Why do you want to hug your father? Kid can't explain. Does that mean he's not positive that he wants to do it? He has a tam in it. He enjoys it. It makes him feel good. That's also a tam. Adraba, zoisi ikar hayedia. That's the main yedia. Limboy mishtoikek lenashek es aviv. His heart wants to kiss his father. Vizoisi betucha mikol asichli shebo'olam. That you can't slug up. You can't slug up my emotion. You can slug up my reason. I can tell you why. You can argue with me. But the most authentic reason is because it feels good. Ve'ish Yisraeli. Bekol mitzvah, bein b'seichel, bein shaloi b'seichel. Every yid. Every mitzvah, whether it's in his mind or not in his mind, im li boy mishtoikek mislahev miskasher umaymin be'emuna betucha v'chazoka. If his heart yearns for this and he has an inspiration and he's on fire to connect and believes in be'emuna pshuta and this mitzvah, he's confident. Mishpat hu etzlo. That's a mishpat. I love Shabbos. So does it make a difference? I don't know. Why can't you turn on a light? Why not? What does a light have to do? What is that? Why is that called malacha? Does that work? I don't have to know. Because malacha is not avdus, eved is hard work. Malacha is creativity, melech, eved. I could go on and on and speak about it. No, you don't have to go through that. Shabbos is Shabbos, period. I love Shabbos. You don't have to explain it. I have a tam in Shabbos. I have a flavor in Shabbos. That's already a mishpat.
Something
that you don't have a tam for, something that you don't understand, doesn't talk to you, it's totally dry. That's a chayk. Says the Rebbe, what comes first? Chayk or mishpat? What comes first? Chayk. Or chayk is what you don't understand, you don't connect with, you don't feel it, you're not feeling it, or mishpat.
Umitchila tzorich ha'ish Yisrael leharbois b'mitzvois l'ishtakeo b'toyer v'avoido v'yismaser b'daitoi machshavtoi v'chol nafshoi l'Hashem.
In the beginning, a person has to do lots of mitzvahs. And he has to bury himself in the Torah and his avoid of Hashem and give himself over in his mind, in his thoughts, in his whole soul to Hashem, ve'os kechol asher mishtakeh yoiser ba'avoid kedusha margish b'shois hatoivos echnafsho yoitzos umiskareves lekedusha ve'or ha'alyon. Says the Piasetzner Rebbe, you start with chayk. You know what chayk is? I'm not feeling it. I'm not Rebbe, I'm not feeling it today. And therefore what? Now what are we supposed to do? Wait till I feel it? No. That never happens. That's a failure. I got to push my way through and do chayk and give myself over and say I'm doing it even when I'm not feeling it. When I have no connection, doesn't taste right, don't understand why I'm doing it, nothing. But I know that's a chayk. Start with chayk and you keep on doing chayk and guess what happens? With time, it becomes mishpat. Becomes into Mishpat. Rabbi Nachman of Breslov. The Sefer is called Mesila Nale. It has a lot of Rabbi Nachman's sage advice. He says the following thing. Says Rabbi Nachman. Ve'im lefamim, daito mibulbo, v'niyochol v'shum toifen l'smoyach atzmai. The person's not in a good mood. He's not in a good mood. What should he do about it? Act as if you're happy. He's not really happy. Fake it. Put on a smile. Everything. Every dvarm shebek dusha, says Rabbi Nachman. Shemitchila tzrichim la'asleis atzman ke'ilu hulot achar oisot. Even if he's not excited, make like you're excited. Act like you're excited. And guess what's going to happen? You fake it, you make it. It happens. Okay? Another one of these interesting, they have these interesting things that they do. Surveys that they ask people to bite a pen, stand there with their pen, just stand there. See this? It's a smile, right? Just stand like that. Just do that. Okay, I'll do that for a while. Now, how you feeling? All of a sudden, everyone's feeling great. These are scientific studies. You can check them up. You can find them. Hey, you know why? Because if a person smiles, he'll become in a good mood. A person says, there are things that I like. They're not. You've conditioned yourself to that. Condition yourself. A person can do things even if he doesn't like doing them, and guess what? You start liking them. And that can happen. To a person's not in a good mood, you smile, all of a sudden you find yourself in a good mood. Person says, you know, I don't like learning. You know what? If you would start acting like you like learning, you might actually start liking it. Now, I know that probably scares a bunch of you. And that's something that you're going to have to face. Because don't blame it on anything. Not on the Gemara, not on your parents or your Rebbe or anything else. You want it, you could like it. It's going to take time. It's work. But it's something that all of us can do. The Bnei Yisachar says, Lag Ba'omer is a very critical time in Sfiras Ha'omer. You see, the Sfira is 49 days. It's Rashi Teva's Lev. It's Gematria Lev Toiv. Check out that Gematria. Lev Toiv. Lev is 32 days. Toiv is from Lag till Shavuos. A person wants to lock in a Lev Toiv. Okay? Our minds are all pretty much okay. We all pretty much know what we're supposed to be doing. Our challenge is our heart. You want to lock in a Lev Toiv. You want to be able to be someone that says, you know, like we were talking about, Rabbi Gamliel was talking about today, Achashualti. The only thing I want is to be in the Beis Medrash, to be close to you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I want to dive in, I want to learn. It's all I want. You know, the other things you have to do. You know, people have to do, but this is where my heart is. Where's our heart? Now's the time to lock it in. But it doesn't happen just because we want to happen. We have to do things. You fake it, you make it. So a person says, I don't like Jewish music. I just don't. Guess what? That's a choice you made. You can. It's a process. It is. I don't like Jewish books. I don't like reading books about Gedolim. That's a choice you made. A person can make that switch, and now is the time for a person to get a Lev Toif. But so I'm going to continue with more of the Chovetz Talmidim, Beis Hashem, hopefully next week. I want to share with you just some things about what's going on. As I'm sure you all know, there's a lot of turmoil here in Eretz Yisrael. There was a major explosion that happened in Syria last night. No one really knows, or I should say, a lot of people don't, most people don't know who caused the explosion. Syria is blaming Israel. Israel, as far as the last I heard, is not taking accountability for it, which means that they're not saying that they necessarily did it. And someone that I know that has resources is of the opinion that Israel did not do it. It's irrelevant, because anything that happens with Israel and their neighbors has nothing to do with the truth and the reality anyway. But there's definitely been, they're raising a lot of the banter, all the talk. They're trash talking. This is political trash talking that's going on between Israel, Syria, Iran, America. All these different things it's been very heated recently. Now, this is the type of thing that can really escalate extremely fast. As of the moment, there is no credible threat of security in Yerushalayim, Yer HaKodesh, Baruch Hashem, as of the moment. Happy to be able to say, and happy to be able to, Baruch Hashem, feel that way. Now, let me explain it to you. There's always, you know, when I say no credible threat, that means it's no difference than yesterday or the day before. Yesterday and the day before. Also, you know, it's not like that there's nothing going on here, but nothing, they have not raised in any way the level of warning from yesterday to today. They said everything that's going on right now is in the political arena. It has not filtered down to the animals on the ground. So, as far as, you know, putting the yeshiva on lockdown or telling you that you can't go anywhere, so I don't really have reason to do that. It's for sure, makes me sleep better at night, but I still can't do that without, you know, I'm trying to be as honest with you as I possibly can. And there is nothing from the security forces that says that right now there's any reason to do that. That being said, there's a few things I'd like to tell you, which are very important. First of all, everyone must be available at all times, that we should know where you are. If someone is unaccounted for, and for any reason we need to be able to tell our parents that everyone is accounted for, we will have no choice but to call your parents and tell them we don't know where your son is. And that is not going to be a pretty picture, because people get very nervous, and we need to be able to immediately get a hold of you if there is any type of situation where security has been sacrificed in Yerushalayim in any way. There is, in general, places that are safer and less safe in Yerushalayim. I've been told multiple times that Mamila Mall is a place that does not have significant security for the amount of people that are there. So I'm not telling you not to go there, but I am telling you that I've been told many times that Mamila Mall does not have significant security. Baruch Hashem, the Eibishter watches over us. But there are places that we know are things that likely targets are the train, or anything that's on the seam in that area. We will not be locking the front door of yeshiva at this moment. But I do strongly advise that people try to be aware of their surroundings. Now, we're talking about doing hachanas for Lag BaOmer. I'm not going to tell you you're on lockdown because of security reasons. But I am going to tell you that, you know, we're getting all hyped up. It's a big day. Bez Hashem, Siyata Dishmaya. By then everything will be over. But why not stick around just because we're trying to get in the right zone? Why not stick around Yeshiva, Beis Yisrael? Because this is an area where we don't, our hearts are not pulled in other directions. Why don't we do that? Just in order to be able to feel like we're getting closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I just want to share with you one last thing. Who is the biggest threat to our security at this present time? In my humble opinion, the biggest threat to our security is Bibi Netanyahu. And I'll tell you why. He's the biggest threat to our security. Because Bibi Netanyahu comes across as confident, strong, powerful, and you will feel the brunt of the Israeli Air Force and our Mossad and our tanks and our this and our that, and we're powerful with this. That is a recipe for disaster. In the history of Israel, the more confident, the less successful. Always. When we go into a situation that's compromising and we realize that we have to rely on Hashem, we have Hatzlacha. I was in Eretz Yisrael the year of the Gulf War. Israel was in the Gulf War. Israel had no protection to Iraq's guts. And Saddam Hussein said, this is going to be the mother of all wars. And, you know, and he was really talking really tough. And we were lame ducks. We had nothing, no protection. Everyone had, like, we were taping plastic on our windows. Like, that's, like, going to keep the gas out. We were like, this is insane. Nothing. Hashem's going to help us. That's it. We didn't have Patriot missiles. We didn't have Iron Dome. Nothing. We're just sitting here. And miraculously, there were kimat zero casualties. There was, I think, one, two, not religious people, heart attack, something like that. Zero casualties. They're shooting all over the place. Nothing. And then Israel gets Patriot missiles. Thank you, America, for finally coming to our safety. And then all of a sudden, they start having casualties. Why? We don't rely on Patriot missiles and on Iron Domes or on our fancy schmancy, you know, our intelligence or anything like that. It doesn't work. Israel went into Lebanon three times that I remember. The first time, they didn't know what was going to happen. They were extremely successful. Second time, we got this. Disaster. Third time they went in, they were scared stiff. Because last time was a disaster. Miracles. We had someone come here to speak. His name was Moshe Kanan. Moshe Kanan he was in charge. He's a lieutenant. He's in charge of a very special unit, special forces. What they do is they go into enemy lines, and they wait there in case there's someone who gets hurt. Because what they want more than anything else is a POW. Because then they could, you know, trade one Jew for like 1,500 Arabs. That's usually the rate of exchange, right? So they just want to get one soldier. That's worth the whole war, get one soldier. So they have this unit that goes into enemy lines and they sit there. They're hiding somewhere. If someone gets hurt, they got to go in. So he's sitting there in enemy lines, right? He's in there. And it's an extremely dangerous because this whole unit, and they're not a fighting unit. In other words, they're not there to, they're just trying to blend in. He was telling about crazy Siyata Dishmaya stories that were happening. Insane stories. One story is that they were davening Ma'ariv. They bowed for Modim and sniper fire went like right over their heads. Like crazy insane stories that were happening. And he said, he came here to Yeshiva and he spoke. It was super Seder. It was like 4 o'clock in the morning. He said, I came here because I want to say thank you. Because you guys, your Torah, your learning, that's what brought us back safe. Yeah, he's from. It's not an army. We're not bravo and tough. It's Eibishter, the Borei Olam. And we have to remember that, because if you forget that, that's where the danger is. There's a Peladik of Maisa in Navi. You could ask Lishachechik to show you where it is. Where Klal Yisrael was going to war, and they had a very big, impressive army. So you know what the Tsar Tzava said? Too many soldiers. We got to cut some soldiers out. So he said, okay, everyone bend down to take a drink. So the ones that bent down, like bent over, he said, okay, you're out. And the ones that bent with their knees, a little bit more tznius, okay, you can fight. It's like, where's the army? Like the whole army. He's like, okay, now we can fight. Why? It's because when we're too strong, then we think that we're macho. We're not going to win. I need to like lower a little bit our odds so that we can daven. You hear? This story from the Navi. Don't start thinking that it's Israel's might that's going to win this war. That's the danger. That's the biggest danger. We're going to win this war because we're davening and we're learning, and the Ibishta loves us and we love him. Netzach Yisrael lo yishaker. Ibishta doesn't lie. We're his eternal people. This is our eternal land. We should be zeichet to Mashiach Tzidkenu, and here we are.